Hey, Jonathan. I don't mean to put you on the spot there, but you want to give a testimony about the church in Helsinki? Just kind of tell us. They just came back from Finland.
Here we go. Hey, everybody. So me and Rebecca, we just came back from Finland, and it's Wednesday, and we visited a couple churches there. Like, I'm from Finland. I've been in both in Helsinki and Kuopio. There are two churches out of six that are in Finland, and our head pastor from Baltimore, Pastor Schaller, planted the churches in 75 and 78. So they just had a 50th year anniversary there. And I mean, it's a great testimony where even after 50 years, there's still work continuing. And not just that, but like, the young people there are like, they are on fire for God. It's amazing to see. Like it seems that it's going worse and worse, but then there's like God is calling like these teenagers, these high schoolers, middle schoolers to go, and like, they're sitting with their Bibles open and they're like asking these awesome questions. And then there's also these who have been 50 years there, and like, they have seen how it's developed and how it's rooted and grounded in the teaching and in the doctrine of grace and finished work. And that's really the fruit, what is there. It just remains, and it's amazing. It's amazing to see that. And yeah.
Thank you, Jonathan. So the fruit that is there and that remains, keep that thought. Yeah. Yeah, so Lord, just bless this message. We need you. We're weak. We're weak, and we can do nothing without you. You are all in all. Your grace is sufficient for us. We just trust you this morning. Lord, trust you to feed us, to lead us. Lead us in the way everlasting. In Jesus' name, amen. So this message, if you could make it legalistic for yourself if you like, but don't do that. You know, like, that's not God's heart. And then it could also be just a great blessing for you. You know, and so it's Isaiah 58. Let's see. Yeah, Isaiah 58. Cry aloud, do not spare. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. So God was speaking. He was telling Isaiah to speak clearly and directly. Tell my people their transgression and their sins. But the question is, do they want to hear what God has to say? You know, and most of the prophets were not received well, and many were killed. You know, God had a message and the people didn't want it. They didn't want to hear it. They had their own way, right? And how many people have ever been in their own way and the Holy Spirit was convicting them of something and you were kind of like resisting? And we resist for a while, but if we have God in us, we're gonna respond eventually, even if it, God disciplines those he loves too, right? Even if that happens, like, we're gonna draw back to him eventually, one way or another. And the best thing is just to like have an open heart, like guard your heart, like, I'll receive whatever God has for me. And then that's great. Like, if he has something hard for me, I receive it. And then out of that comes resurrection life, right? Out of the cross comes the resurrection life. And yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways. And I would put that delight in quotes. They're looking good on the outside to themselves, in their minds, maybe to other people. And we'll see from the context why I'm saying that. As a nation, they did righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching God. And approaching God, they look good and they delighted in approaching God. And you'll see in the context why I'm saying that. And they asked, why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls and you take no notice? And you ever say that to God? Like David said some stuff like to God, like why are the wicked prosper? And like he's asking questions of God, right? But like, how come you haven't answered my prayer, God? Like, how come you haven't answered my prayer? And I'm sure we've all been there. We've all said that. Have we had the heart to receive whatever answer God has for us? Have we been praying the prayer that God wants us to pray? Maybe the prayer shouldn't be about us. It should be about somebody else. You know, like the focus is wrong. In fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit all your labors. So God's blowing up their image that's coming from the tree of knowledge of good, right? They're being good. They're fasting. They're doing what they're supposed to do. Even as a nation, they're doing what they're supposed to do. But their heart is not with God. Their image. They're not fasting like from with the right heart, but as a ritual in their own strength. They thought they were going to get something done for God. They thought they were going to get something done for God. Or they were going to move God's hand by themselves. But like, don't we need to be led by the Spirit? Like the Spirit needs to lead us in prayer. Like pray in the Spirit, right? Like what God wants. And the reality, on the day of fasting, they were exploiting people. And so these people that they were exploiting, they were working and they have a right to benefit according to God. And the people took care of their oxen, right? You know, we put a new roof on our house when it's going to get ready to leak, or we paint something, or we change the oil in our car. They took care of their oxen, especially when they were working hard in the field and grinding in the mills. They maintained their equipment. And we update our latest operating system on our phone, right? I mean, we are doing things, but we can also like exploit people. And maybe in our society, we don't exploit people the way they exploited people, but we can use people. We can use our friends, right? And take, and never give. And then like wonder, like if we have no friends, are we a friend? Like be a friend, like give. Indeed, you fast and strife and debate to strike with the fist of wickedness. And that's only fasting for their needs. Lord, help me win this argument. Help me defeat this person. Selfish prayer, even wicked prayers, invoking the name of God. It says, and to you fast for strife and debate and to strike with the fist of wickedness. And it's like you're invoking the name of God in your flesh for some other purpose. Can we fast when we need God or pray? Absolutely. Is that the only time? How about we fast for or pray for others? How about we pray for the lost? How about we pray for bigger things than our own little circles, our own little world? What do you call it? Like egocentric or something like that, where like our whole worldview is all about us. You know, you will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. It's your voice to glorify yourselves, to have your voice heard. Is it a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? This is external. Now, suppose they were crying out to God from the heart for something that was on God's heart. They might, that a lot of times the internal will manifest itself external, right? So, like, there's nothing wrong with all this stuff. There's nothing wrong with that. But if they don't have the heart, if they don't have the internal, it's just some religious ritual, right? And God's rebuking that, a show of fast without a heart, even though they're doing all the right things. Matthew 6, 5, you know that when Jesus was saying, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. Like, sometimes we need to look in the mirror, right? When we pray, sometimes we don't want to be like the hypocrite. We'll be like, well, we're not like him. We're not like that Pharisee that stood on the corner and beat himself and said, look how good I'm, how much I'm praying. We're not like him. But are we being hypocritical? When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. Don't be like a hypocrite. Is it not the fast that I have chosen? And I would say, is it not? It's just another way of saying, this is the fast that I have chosen. To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. In the context, it's to stop oppressing others. It's not that their prayer will have this effect. It's actually to stop oppressing others. If you want to fast to please men, begin with getting right with your brothers and sisters. Stop acting wickedly toward others. And like, maybe we don't need this now. Like in my time in my life, I was like, oh, why am I preaching on this? I don't really need this now. Well, you know what? It's going to be based on something God's taught you in the past, or you might need it now. But if you don't need it now, you might need it tomorrow. You know, you might need this tomorrow. 1 John 2, 9-10. He who says he's in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light. And then 1 John 4:8, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Let me look this up. I was talking to this homeless guy yesterday, and he's like, I just don't know my purpose. And I was like, I do. And he was like, and I was like, you want to hear it? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, it's to know God and to make him known. Like, that's our purpose, to know God and to make God known. And I was just talking about all the ways we can know God. And one of them is in the body. We can know God in the body. He's the head and we're the body of Christ. We actually experience God in the fellowship, right? But one of the ways was loving others. And let me see if I can, as 1 John 1:5, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. I missed the verse I was looking for. But anyway, the point is this, like if we're in the light, we love our brothers. And in the light, we know God. We know, you can't say you know God and then not love your brother. So like in the light, we get this illumination that God loves them. And like, you know that song, Break My Heart for What Breaks Yours? Like we have this illumination in our spirit, like we love them. We love our brothers and sisters. And like this is like a way of knowing God, because God's loving them and we're loving them. And obviously the word, right? Many ways that God reveals himself. Suffering. Is it not the fast I have chosen? Wait a minute. Yeah, okay. Is it not the fast I have chosen to share your bread with the hungry, that you may bring to your house the poor who were cast out? So this is kind of like, you know, these are all Jewish people. They're living in the society, right? It's kind of like in 1 Corinthians 11:29. Like not discerning the body, like they're having a feast and not sharing it with other people in the church. And it's like they're not discerning the body. They're not discerning like how important the body of Christ is. And it's like Luke 14:13-14. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. And you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. Wow. You will be blessed. You will be blessed. How many like a blessing? I like a blessing. Like, you will be blessed. Like, this is good. And a blessing coming in and a blessing going out. Right? We're blessed. And when you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. So getting our heart right with God continues by doing loving things for others. And I'm mostly preaching to the choir, right? I mean, this church gives a lot, serves a lot, does loving things for others. But like, we need refreshers to like remind us, yeah, this is we're on the right track. And God loves people. And we do too. Then, I like that. In this section, the word then, I like to see that then. It's like amazing. Your light shall break forth like the morning. How many hunters are in here? Or people who have hunted in the early morning? Or how about people that maybe commute in the early morning, and you see this, or fishermen or something, you see, or farmers, you see the sun, it's dark, you go out in the dark, and then the sun, all of a sudden, the light starts coming on. And like, when you're hunting, like, you're looking, sometimes literally, if you close your eyes for a while, and let your pupils get bigger, and you open them, I swear, like, the sun changes by the second, the light is getting brighter as it's coming up. And it's like, our light shall break forth like the morning in the darkness. So you have the darkness, you can't see a thing. And then all of a sudden the light breaks forth. It's kind of dim. And then no time at all, you can see perfectly clear. Boom, the light breaks forth in the darkness. I think one of our girls, when we went to the beach, I think it was Esther, got up and walked to the beach in the dark so she could catch the sunset, you know, like on the water and all. That's amazing. But the light breaking forth in the darkness, your healing shall spring forth speedily. So that's a quick healing. Did I put that up there? Yeah. Speedily. How many people want to be healed speedily? Amen to that. And your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. One of the songs we were singing, I was talking about your glory goes beyond. I started to write it down. I didn't get all the words, but I was just like, wow, the glory of the Lord. And you know, like the pillar of fire and the cloud, like the cloud was between the Israelites and the Egyptian army, right? The glory of the Lord, your rear guard. They can't even see what's going on, but it's like this glory. And then the temple, like, it was like clouds and smoke coming up. The glory of the Lord. It was just so powerful. And it shall be your rear guard. And sometimes we don't even know how important a rear guard is, because things can sneak up on us, right? Things can sneak up out of nowhere and boom, like surprise you. We were talking one time, remember Pastor Bob Colbin? He came here in February a couple years ago. Has a big mustache. He's a builder. I remember he preached at a marriage seminar one time that Satan wants to hunt your marriage. You know, and he was bringing up all these different verses, but like I was thinking of the different ways of hunting. Well, one of them is like stalking, like sneaking up behind where you can't see. You can't see it coming. And goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I've got the glory of the Lord as my rear guard. It's like amazing. Like I don't have to watch my back so much. All the armor of God is on the front, right? We don't have armor of God on the back. We got the glory of the Lord guarding our rear back. Then you shall call and the Lord will answer. And you shall cry, and he shall say, here I am. So, you know, when God calls Isaiah, he's like, who shall I send? And Isaiah says, here I am. Like, that's a very inspiring message. Like, when God calls, we say, here I am, right? So, any parents with little kids, when you call your kid, you like them to acknowledge that you spoke, right? Like, if they ignore you, like, that's very bad. It's very rude, you know, but imagine this, the kid's calling you and you're involved in a really important conversation and the kid keeps like, is calling you like to get your attention. You're like, hold on, wait till I'm done talking, you know, but God, you call on God and he says, here I am. Imagine that. God Almighty says, here I am. Like I'm listening. He will answer. So, If you take away the yoke from your midst, like stop oppressing others like animals. And there's three things to stop doing. And if we're doing something that's a sin of commission, right? You're doing it. To stop doing this. Pointing the finger. You know, you teach your kids it's not polite to point. Some cultures don't have that, but like don't be critical or judgmental, especially like in your spirit. You know, like we can discern things and we can even like use those as teaching moments, but we're not like condemning, we're not judging people, pointing the finger. We're not always like just being critical for the sake of being critical. And this is a spiritual stronghold, I think, in this country. like in this, especially like you look at how I talk about politics. I don't even have to say about people. I can just blast everybody. It's like, but people, like everybody, right? It's a spiritual stronghold, like pointing the finger. It's easy to point the finger. And we need to check ourselves with that over and over. You know, like making grace adjustments when you're driving the car. You know, you don't hold the steering wheel just straight or you'll eventually go off the road or in the other lane. You got to go like this a little bit, right? We're just constantly making grace adjustments in our checking ourselves, in our thinking, to think with God and trust God in the way we think too. And speak wickedness. With the same tongue, we can bless and we can curse. Then there's two things that we need to start doing. And if you're not doing something you should be doing, that's a sin of omission, right? And like, I think the sin of commission, like when we're actively doing something as a sin against God that grieves the Holy Spirit. And omission, when God is leading us to do something that's quenching the Holy Spirit. And then if you extend your soul to the hungry, does it say extend your food to the hungry? No, it doesn't say that. It says extend your soul. Does it say extend your money to the hungry? No, it doesn't say that either. Extend your soul, which is more than food and money. Like, you can give them food and money without your soul. And there's also the hungry, there's also a spiritual hungry, right? In Matthew 5:6, it could be famished. And God wants to extend your soul. Like, we talked about the soul, mind, will, emotions, self-consciousness. Like, instead of self-consciousness, we need God consciousness. And God's mind and God's thought about things. And our soul, like our mind, our thoughts. Our thoughts, extend your thoughts to the hungry. Extend your thoughts to the hungry. That includes prayers, right? Thoughts. That includes words. Like, you have a thought from God for them. Like, I have some food for you that you don't know anything about. Right? And what is it? John 4, the disciples are like, where are you going to get food? And Jesus says, I have food for you that you don't know anything about. I have food you don't know anything about to do the will of my Father. Like, to follow Jesus is food that people don't know anything about. And we have words. We have words for people. We have thoughts for people. We have our mind, the mind of Christ being renewed day by day, right? We're renewing our mind and we're thinking with God about the hungry. And then we have emotions. We have compassion for people, right? It says to rejoice with people who rejoice and mourn with people who mourn. Like, they're hungry. Like, we have compassion. Like, we know what it's like to be hungry. Like, we need a word from God. We want to hear from God. We're hungry. God, speak to me. Right? And so, like, somebody might be praying. I don't know how many encounters we've had where people have said that. I was just praying that God would speak to me, or God would send somebody to me, or something like that. Or my mama told me she was praying that God would send somebody to talk to me. Something like that. You know, like, and like, but compassion, like, we know. And sometimes I wonder, like, we want to be obedient, but we want to be in the Spirit. But the Spirit isn't about emotions, right? We're not led by our emotions. We're not led by our mind. We're not led by our will. We're led by the Spirit. And those things follow. Those things, the emotions follow. Like, if we're being led by the Spirit, then He'll give us healthy emotions and the proper emotions, not sentimentality. Like, people can manipulate you through your emotions, and you might be doing something for them that God doesn't want you to do for them. There's a verse, is it 2 Thessalonians 3:10, Alexander? Yeah. You know, they had all things in common, and then he said, if you don't work, you don't eat. You know, there's that verse too. You know, so like God's heart, like what is God's heart for this person at this time and this moment, and God can give me the healthy emotions toward them, not sentimentality to where I can be manipulated about something, but a word in season for them right now. And it might be somebody who has messed up everything their whole life and doesn't deserve an ounce of compassion. God would have you to give major compassion and mercy to in that time, because that's what they need, and they've been crying out to God. Look at the Israelites. They mess up. They worship idols. And then they cry out to God, and he hears their prayer, and he answers them. Maybe somebody's been crying out to God, and God would have you just pour out financial and, you know, physical things to them and love. And maybe somebody has been resisting God, and God would have you be like a prophet and go tell him, hey, you know, like Isaiah's doing. And nobody wants to do that. Nobody wants to do that. But maybe God would have you do that. That's very rare, I think. But sometimes God does. And then your will. He wants you to extend your soul to the hungry. Your will. I'm willing to do whatever God wants me to do. And that may include food, physical food. That may include something, anything, whatever God tells you, right? And satisfy the afflicted soul. People are afflicted. They're afflicted. One word is all they need to heal them. One word from God. Yeah. Like that song came to mind again. Like, break my heart for what breaks yours. And like Psalm 126, he who goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing. Like, sometimes I feel like I don't weep enough. Like, I'm obedient, but I'm not weeping. Like sometimes I am, though. And like, that's God's heart, right? God wept over Jerusalem. Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Like, that's his heart. Then your light shall shine in darkness. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fails. I can't read my writing. The cry of my heart to bring you praise from the inside out. That's an appropriate song with this message, right? It's like, your light will shine when all else fails. Your light shall dawn in the darkness. And what happens when we pray for those in darkness? They get light. They get light. How many want that? How many want our prayers to shed light on the other people? Like, yeah, yeah. And your darkness shall be as the noonday. I don't know if I put that up there or not. I did. And your darkness shall be as the noonday. And I was thinking, remember Jeremiah 17? They won't see the drought when it comes. The blessed who trust in the Lord won't see the drought when it comes. It's kind of like that concept. Your darkness shall be like the noonday. You don't even see it. There's darkness all around, and you're living in the light. It's like you're in a dark place, in a bad, bad, dark place, a bad season in your life, and you're walking in the sunshine. It's like you ever in a rainstorm, there's rain all around, and then there's one little spot where it's not raining, you know? It's like, it's nice. Your darkness shall be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually. How many want that? Continually. No worry about direction. Wherever you want to take me, Lord. And because he's guiding continually. And empty religious rituals don't do that. Like sincere hearts and faith obedience. Give us that. And then, this is still, the then is still from verse 10. And satisfy your soul in drought. I have nothing. It's a drought. But I have a satisfied soul. I have contentment and I have peace. It's a satisfied soul. Amazing. Satisfied. A drought. It's like, where's God? Like, I'm in the desert. Like, what's going on? But I have faith. When I don't see things, I have faith. And then I have this peace and a contentment. I have satisfaction in the drought. And strengthen your bones. Like, that's like deep, deep down, a health. You shall be like a watered garden. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. So what does that mean? That means fruit, right? A watered garden produces fruit, especially in the desert. Like, you gotta have water. Fruit. Water in the Middle East is very precious. Very precious. It's life. Producing fruit in life. And like, fruit in my soul, fruit in my family, fruit in the church, fruit on the street. What is this fruit? It's life. It's food. Fruit is food, right? And it sustains us, and it's also seed to bring more fruit, right? So you got the couple of parables where you got the branch and the vine, and like, we can do nothing apart from Christ. And then, like, but abiding in Christ, thinking with God, we're just hanging out with Jesus, and next thing you know, there's fruit. And the fruit has food, and inside the food is seeds. And then the other one is like the sower with the seed. The seed's the word of God. And like, so we have this seed, and then it, with the water, it grows. And it bears more fruit, and we have more seed. And other people have it. Those among you shall build the old places. And then, those among you shall build the old places. The enemy destroyed the temple, and Zerubbabel came to rebuild. And you shall raise up the foundations of many generations. And you shall be called repairer of the breach and restorer of the streets to dwell in. So the enemy comes to steal and kill and destroy. And like, you think of like an army that destroys, or even like a natural disaster, a hurricane, something destroyed, locusts destroyed, something destroyed, right? And then, but God gives us a vision to rebuild. And God himself in Psalm 23 restores our soul. He rebuilds us. Joel 2:25, he will restore the years that the locusts have eaten, like he did for Job, times two, right? Like he did for Joseph, going from a slave, being in a pit, to a slave, to a jail, to the Pharaoh's palace, to second in command. Like, and David, Psalm 51, restore unto me the joy of your salvation. There's a restoration that's coming, and God gives us a vision to repair and restore and rebuild, and it's great. And how does that happen? Through prayer. This passage is about prayer. You're restoring and rebuilding through prayer. And if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, like own ways, rather than resting You can be doing things, but if they're your own ways, something rather than resting, nor finding your own pleasure, find something else to do than rest in God, nor speaking your own words, some wisdom other than his. You know, like you ever run across somebody, they're like, well, I know the Bible says that, but I don't believe it because I think. Or they say, my God would never be that way. Like they're going to define who God is. You know, your own wisdom, something apart from the word. Your own words. He's our Sabbath. The finished work rest is fulfilled in Christ. It's a delight to lay our burdens before him, to quit striving and to trust him. Then, there's another then. You shall delight yourself in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride upon the high hills of the earth. And I was thinking about, he doesn't say hike or walk, but to ride. You know? You guys got the to ride upon the Skyline Drive. To ride upon the high hills of the earth. And feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. And when we rest in him, we delight in him. And when we delight in him, what happens? Delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. It comes back around. Just trusting God, delighting in the Lord, and following his ways and his thoughts, and not our own ways, not our own thoughts, not our own wisdom, not our own pleasures, not our own work, but his. And it's a pleasure that is above. It's a delight that's above. It's something that satisfies the soul, brings health to the bones, and restores and rebuilds. And let's pray. Lord, may our prayers be like this, Lord. With all these blessings in these prayers, Lord, may you do great things in everyone in this church, individually, in their lives, in our lives, in my life. And may you do great things in every family in this church, each family in this church. And may you do great things in this church. Yes, Lord, bring a revival in this church, revival in our lives and our families' lives in this church. A revival in the other churches in Culpeper and in America and around the world. A revival in America, Lord. A revival in the schools. A revival in the prisons. A revival in the streets. Just, I pray for your presence and your light to shine like the morning in our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And we're dismissed.